What's up? Been a long time, Bruce. How you doing? I hadn't talked to you in a little while. We never talked.
Yeah. It's been a long month without you, buddy. It's good to hear from you again. Good to see your face again. We don't get to do this show, nor do we ever communicate in any other way. So
yeah, we save it all. We save it all for Bark After Dark. For you guys, we save every bit of it. But hey, I'm Jake Groh. He's Jay Groose. In case you need an introduction and you're seeing this for the first time, disclaimer, this is a deeply unserious show. We will not apologize for the fact that we will not talk Georgia football all, or maybe even most, or maybe even a little. Sometimes we just kind of get on here, and as Jay Groose has said many times, this is an exercise in self-indulgence for he and myself to get out here and act like idiots. There's a microwave in Jay Groose's background with the ceiling fan going 100 miles an hour. So this should tell you a little bit about where we're at, and we're glad to be here. We took most of the month of February off. Josh Pate was our last guest, and since then he's landed an interview with Kirby Smart. We're going to take all the credit for that.
I think that's reasonable. I think that you know, once he saw that Josh Pate kind of hit the big time and did Bark After Dark,
yeah,
it made sense for Kirby to go on. And you know, once he saw the kind of platforms Josh Pate was reaching into, it made all the sense in the world.
Yeah, Josh, you're welcome, buddy. We love being able to do those things for you. We appreciate you, and you know, just congratulations on that. And you know, we're career makers over here. We make things happen for people. And you're the second or third or 1 millionth in a long line, I guess, of guys that have just benefited from our presence. And you know, Kirby's always wanting to come on here, and we're just like, come on, man, we're doing you a favor. All right. Just relax. When the time is right, we'll let you come on.
Yeah, you get a couple of those late night texts after a few scotches, like, man, I really want to get on to Bark After Dark. We're like, man, just save it for the press conferences. You're giving the people what they really want there.
Yeah, keep that voice good. You got spring practice coming up, Kirby. Chill out. Don't be so desperate, bro. But no, we're glad to be back, and no guests tonight. I figured it'd be good just to kind of get back and catch up, tell you guys what we've been up to. And tell you what I've been up to. I went to the NFL Combine, and listen, next year I'm either taking you or I'm sending Palmer by himself. One or the other. I'm never going back up there by myself. It's not that I'm scared or anything like that, but it lacks for entertainment whenever it's just you. The UGA sports guys had like three people. Our man Patrick Garbin and Jed May and Bobby, their intern, they were all there. You know, you got Zach Klein and his, you know, famous cameraman Dave Hickox there. That's just the dude. You know, Mike Griffith and Kaylee Mansell. Hey, you know, but it was just solo boy over here, just kind of figuring out how to get through life by himself. And I need a running mate next time I go up there.
Yeah, we had a pretty good time last time we were up in Indy too.
Oh, God, did we?
I don't know that I would say it's like a super underrated city, but I think maybe from culinary and good beer and, you know, I've been twice and I've had a good time both times I've been, man. It's a super clean city. I think it's very well laid out. So I don't have a lot of complaints. It's cold as shit in the winter. I know that. But other than that, yeah, Indianapolis, worth a visit in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if I'll tell you this, it's like if your professional career ever takes you there, I'll never go out of my way. I don't think, you know, like, I don't know if somebody gave me free tickets to George Strait's last concert at Lucas Oil or something like that, maybe. But it would have to be like, it had to be something like that. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to go to Indianapolis, but I will go. From a professional standpoint, I'll go and I'll enjoy myself.
Yeah. You wouldn't dread going.
No, definitely not. It's not that kind of place. Like, it really is not that kind of place at all.
Shout out to a second place that you and I both went this last month that I had been underrating and I had been dreading, quite frankly, Carrollton, Georgia, man, on the come up. I had a lot better time in Carrollton than I would have expected, man. The food was really strong. Carrollton, you're doing it right with the culinary scene, man.
Big shit's popping in Carrollton, bro. I mean, you know, Carrollton's on the rise. I mean, you know, Birmingham, look out. All right. Yeah. You know, yeah. Carrollton's coming for you. But Carrollton was a blast, dude. I had such a good time there. Honestly, now that I think about it, you know, because I didn't know you were going to bring up Carrollton. Now that I think about it, there are some similarities. There really are. There's kind of this unsuspecting. Now, listen, there aren't the hamster tunnels in you know, the gerbil tunnels in Carrollton that there are in Indianapolis, where you can travel 17 miles without ever going outside. That's wild. That convention center in Indianapolis is wild, but Carrollton was super cool, man. We had a great time there. That Under Armour camp was great. You know, it was cool to catch up with a bunch of guys and things like that. But so getting back to Indy, let's go deep in scouting report on this St. Elmo's cocktail sauce.
Oh boy.
I didn't have to purchase it this time to enjoy it. They brought it to us in the media room one day. I still say, man, like, I've had it maybe a half dozen times now, and I'm never prepared, like, ever.
Yeah, I think it was you who coined the term flashbang grenade.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's, once you start ringing, your vision gets blurry. It's like if you ever played Call of Duty and got hit by one, you know.
It's an accurate way to describe it for sure. Yeah, I will say that. I mean, you know me. You know I love the heat, and cocktail sauce. Cocktail sauce is one of the best ways to get it, man. I love what they do there. And like the first time I went to Indianapolis, I sought it out for that reason. Like I was like, man, I heard they have this wicked cocktail sauce, and it delivered, man, in a way that very few things that get the hype that it does do. You know what I'm saying? Like you're like most stuff, you're like, nah, it's pretty good. It's all right. That stuff actually is as hot as people say it is. And that's pretty impressive that they're able to deliver on that, especially with such consistency, man. Plus those shrimp are huge and delicious. And so St. Elmo's definitely on the list if you're a shrimp cocktail lover, and great steaks as well. I've enjoyed both times I've eaten there.
I'll be honest with you, man. I've had a couple of steaks from St. Elmo's. This past time was my first chance to visit Harry and Izzy's, which is the sister restaurant. It's kind of right there, with a little bit more flair and you know, a little less old fashioned, even though it's still pretty old fashioned. I thought the steak at Harry and Izzy's was far better than one I had at St. Elmo's. Okay. Yeah, okay. Like I crushed it. I didn't need no ketchup or nothing.
Big ketchup guy on the steak, Jake Rowe. He loves nothing. He loves more than a $70 filet and just some Heinz just all over
the place. Hey, I'll be the first. I'll tell people, and I'm not ashamed of it one bit. If I get one of those big ass sirloins, of those big, oh, it looks like a big piece of ham almost.
Yeah,
and I grill one of those up, I'm gonna eat part of that, dipping it in ketchup because
that's fair.
It takes me back to my childhood. It takes me back to the day when my mom and dad would roll me up to the Western Sizzlin' with the metal charger plates and the petite sirloin that I was getting, that $7 sirloin that was, you know, just, I'm talking about tough. It was tremendous. But we got a video we're going to pull up here real quick. Funny thing is me, Zach Klein, Dave Hickox, and Kaylee Mansell were eating dinner at Harry and Izzy's, and right behind us was the group from NFL Live, Field Yates, and Mina Kimes and Laura Rutledge, and they actually posted a video, Laura did, of Mina trying the cocktail sauce for the first time, and she uses a little Bark After Dark language.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was actually pretty cool. I don't know where, you know, if Palmer's with us or not. Palmer, are you there? Palmer, are you there? Just messing with you, dude. I can see you. Just giving you a hard time, PT.
Is it this one?
Yes, it is that one.
Okay. Because it says St. Elmo's, but
it's definitely not St. Elmo's. They were sitting right beside us when this was going down.
You're calling Laura Rutledge a liar.
Yeah. They were not at St. Elmo's when this was happening. They were right beside us when all of this went down. Watch this whole thing go down.
It's all the same ownership, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're basically next door to each other.
I
want to
see the reaction. Oh, no.
When they brought it to us in the media room, they brought it around, and they had this, you know, young lady following them around with the phone vertically, like right up in our faces, wanting to get our reaction. And I was like, listen, I'm going to give you what you want right now. You know,
that's like DeAndre Walker when I interviewed him that time, and he's like, is that what you wanted?
So good. I always loved the way you tilt I've heard you tell me that like 10 times, and every time you do, you always tilt your head forward like, is that what you wanted?
That's what he did, man. It was like, it freaked me out. That was like the first time I'd ever gone to something like that, and he did that. It was so strange.
Yeah,
he's almost an interesting cat though.
If I would have thought about it, I thought about the best line I could have come up with. It's hard to talk whenever that stuff's hitting you, but it'd have been like, hey, if you got anything you want to weld, let's go. Yeah. Hold it up to my nostrils right now. I will melt some metal for you real fast.
Let me ask you this. So you did the combine. I've not had a chance to do it. Good event to cover, or you're better watching it on TV, aren't you?
It's one of the more, it's like, I'll put it in the same, it's less cool than the SEC Media Days, and everybody knows I'm not a big SEC Media Days fan.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Jake.
Very sterile. It's so sterile and so like, you stand around, there's a bunch of podiums, you've got a schedule, they bring them up, you do your stuff, and on top of it all, the thing that makes it most enjoyable is that Wi-Fi is the worst MFing Wi-Fi I've ever been around in my entire life. Like, I'm about to go on a Ric Flair, like, you know, I mean, oh my God, dude, it is so bad. If I finally got to where I would just take the 15-minute walk back to the hotel and just work from my hotel room, because that's how bad it was. But yeah, there's nothing real cool about it. I never even went in the stadium to see what was going on as far as testing goes. Did you watch any of the testing? Yeah, I watched it. Not from the stadium, I didn't.
No, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. I mean, I do regret that a little bit, just going back in, because it'd have been cool just to go sit in the seats of Lucas Oil for a little bit and kind of enjoy that and see the field. But I mean, you know,
I don't regret it. I did it last year and it was not worth it.
Okay. Well,
I don't think I'd want to watch the whole thing, but I think I'd like to say that I've got to see part of it live. I mean, like, you know, I'll get out there. Like, I'd like to watch the wide receivers run 40s, because that's going to be probably, I mean, to be there when Xavier Worthy ran that one. And part of the problem with this, right, is you're not getting the times fed to you.
As far as I know, you're not getting the times, even though there was a pretty big yell when Xavier Worthy did it. Maybe they were tuned in on their phones or something, but
yeah.
I figured they would have seen it run a lot quicker. Like, literally, when he crossed the line, there was an ovation, which made it kind of sound a little bit weird. What's going on with that, Palmer?
If I'm not mistaken, that was his second attempt.
So
the way that they do it is they've got the TV broadcast up on the big screen, but they black out the box that has the time on the first attempt so that TV has the first – you have to watch the TV coverage to get the first, hey, this guy ran this time.
Yeah.
The second time around, it's fully uncovered.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
my understanding of it. And that's how I remember it last year. I did not see Worthy's run live, but if I recall, it was his second.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was his second.
Yeah, because I think he tied with the first one, right?
Actually, no, he tied it. He actually tied it. What you saw, he tied it with his second one.
Okay. And then it was the official time. And then the official
one. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, do what now?
Big Palmer pop-in show today.
Yeah. Big Palmer pop-in. You know, today we're going to call that. Maybe that's a new segment. Write that down. Palmer's pop-ins. So I mean, I guess maybe I should have done that. I'll go back, you know, like I'll go back, you know, if it's worth covering, it'll be fun. I'd just like to, you know, again, I need a running mate. I need a partner in crime. I need somebody to go out and do stuff with. You know, I met up for dinner pretty much every night and things like that. But I mean, man, listen, man's got to kill some time between, you know, the end of the combine stuff and reservations at Harry and Izzy's. Know what I'm saying?
No doubt. I'm a little surprised you were able even to get those reservations, man. I figured just the place is overrun.
The moment that I knew that I was going, I started making reservations.
Yeah. Okay. Good call.
Yeah, the moment I knew I was going, I started doing that. But, you know, it was a cool experience. I met Pete Nakos from On3 for the first time. Pete's a stud reporter in our NIL and transfer portal, you know, spaces. He does a phenomenal job. Met new addition to the network, Philip Dukes, doing the video stuff. Had a really good conversation with Philip Dukes, and they're watching testing while the linebackers and D linemen were going. That was a lot of fun. We were watching there from the Velocity Sports Bar at the JW Marriott. I'll tell you this too, brother. And I want people to listen to what I'm about to say, because my granddad would say, I shit you not. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a bar at the JW Marriott. If you went for the national championship game, if you ended up at the JW Marriott, you know what I'm talking about. There's the sports bar, the Velocity place. It's like a restaurant and a bar. It's cool. It's nice. Had some drinks over there. But then there's the JW Marriott bar, which is kind of like a horseshoe-shaped bar. We had a couple cocktails there ourselves, or three nights, maybe every night that we were there. I don't know. That place got loaded with scouts, execs, coaches, everything like that, all right? And you walk up in that thing about 11 o'clock at night, all right, and everybody's kind of liquored up. Everybody's kind of having a good time, and, you know, you end up, you know, hey, I run into this scout that I've known for a couple of years, and then, you know, hey, do you know so-and-so, all this stuff, get introduced to people, and the drinks start flowing, and they think they're in scout company. Man, I swear to God, Jake, I thought at one point somebody was going to say, hey, man, listen, because it was getting deep. All right. I thought at some point somebody was going to say, hey, man, listen, one time when I was 20 years old, I'd had a little too much to drink and I drove home and I hit a kid and kept going. Like, I thought some serious secrets were about to get there was stuff being said that I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, like you got the wide eye, huh? Yeah.
And honestly, I wish I'd been, you know, I wish I remembered all of it. I don't remember everything, because part of me was kind of like, you know, when I would hear something, I'd be like, oh, God, I don't need to hear this. You know, just the great reporter I am, you know. But oh, my God, dude. I mean, they were cutting loose some stuff, man. They just go a couple hours just saying stuff. And I just knew somebody was going to pop in and one up somebody with some story about how they, you know, murdered somebody at some point in their life. I mean, it was getting uncomfortable. That's
for sure. I definitely hope to go next year. I told you, it's kind of one of those things that I've never done before.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, you know, it started off. I mean, I remember when I was at UGA Sports, we would send like one guy a year, right? You know, I think Roddy typically was the one who went. And so it was like it was a pretty small event. And I think probably within the last 3 to 4 years is really when it's turned into this, a big thing for the college sites to go do. More so than it's ever been before, at least in my recollection.
I'll tell you one thing that will drive you crazy there though, is you're standing there, you're doing the, you know, interviews or whatever. And you get a guy rolling, you get a guy talking. He's starting to kind of come out of his shell a little bit. And then some dweeby little jerk from the back will pop up. Hey, have you met with the New Orleans Saints yet? Formal or informal? and you're like, what?
Speaking of this, I'm not trying to pub this guy, so I'm not going to mention his name. But did you see that guy who asked the Caleb Williams question about where are you scared to compete? And then he just ran over top everybody. Caleb's saying good morning. And people were saying, like, they were like, this is not the right way to do this. And he was like, I had to get the floor or I was going to be overtaken. Fantasy sports reporter.
Oh, is that who that was?
It was. He was. Yeah. I mean, okay. And listen, I love fantasy sports. I'm not shitting on fantasy sports reporters at all. But this guy was not doing anybody any favors. As a half journalist myself, I'm not going to be out here calling out other people for their questions.
If you're a half journalist, that puts me like, you know, 1/16th.
Yeah, sure.
We're over here talking about like it's Native American ancestry. You know? I'm 1/16th journalist.
Yeah, right. Sure. But anyway, I think it's, I don't know, man. I some of that's so overblown, and I get people are doing it. You want to make a name, you want to get out, whatever. But I don't know, man. Some of it, like you said, is just, what are you even supposed to do with that question? Have you met with the Saints? Formal or informal? That's a
you know what you're supposed to do with that question? You know what you're supposed to do with it? You're supposed to tweet it.
Right.
Javon Bullard had a formal interview with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, sure. My God. But there feels like there could be some more context.
Yeah, totally. And I swear to God, Lab McConkey said at least three times, maybe four during his interview. Like I said, yeah, I've met with pretty much every team at this point. Oh, yeah. You know, I said it a minute ago. I think I've met with every team at this point. And you literally have got people like bouncing around with their phones out like, hey, have you met with the Carolina Panthers, formal and informal? Or the best thing is when they say, have you met with the Carolina Panthers? And they'll say yes. And they say formal or informal. I'm like, what's the difference, man?
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal. That part is absolutely brutal and will drive you crazy. And then, you know, there are also people that come in with some like weird questions. There's also people that don't really put on deodorant. That's rough. There was this one guy, dude, I was standing right beside Patrick Garbin, and then Kaylee Mansell was right here on this other side. And this dude came up and kind of wedged himself between me and Kaylee. And he was like 6'5", big guy. And he was holding his phone up like this, and he hadn't seen degree or right guard or left guard or anything in a while. And I was just like, bro, travel size, go get some. Like, there's some in the JW pantry. If they've got one, go get you some deodorant, bro.
You need to partner with a company next year and just like give out travel sizes. Just be like, hey, you know, degree moment.
You know what I need to do is just get me a travel size and put it on the end of a stick. And then when somebody comes up, just gotta shake it out of them. like I'm gonna squeeze them.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Hey, if me and you go next year, you could be on squeegee cam. Like you could cam me squeegee and them.
Yeah. This is how I get my ass whipped at the NFL Combine.
This is how we end up running for our life.
Yeah, sure.
Well, oh man. But hey, we would be remiss if we did not bring up what kind of happened at the NFL Combine, which is a lot of guys competed. Brock Bowers did not. You know, Kamari Lassiter didn't run. Don't care. I do care because I really wanted to see it, but it's not like I've got a problem with it.
No, right. I mean, to me, like, I just don't know what I don't think Brock Bowers had much to gain by doing any of that.
Yeah, I don't either. Again, I just wanted to see him run the 40. Because I told Shock, I was talking to DJ Shockley, and I said, he goes, yeah, man, he ain't gonna work out. And I said, yeah, but golly, he goes, you just wanted to see him run that 40. And I said, yeah, I did. I wanted to see him run a 4.3. Like, I wanted to see if he could crack a 4.4. Like, I don't think that was completely out of the realm of possibility. And I do think that Kamari Lassiter, based on what we saw, right, there's so many of those guys ran fast times there. I think Kamari Lassiter and Marcus Rosenby, Jack Saint might have made a little bit of a mistake.
I agree.
Maybe got some bad advice and maybe should have ran there, that the track maybe there was a little faster. Then maybe it'll be at Georgia's Pro Day. We'll see. But, you know, that's really the only critiques. Was so stoked, man. Was so happy for Tyke Smith running that 4.46 because, dude, I'm telling you right now, like if you'd have put your knee on the back of my neck and put a gun in the back of my head and said, hey, I'm pulling the trigger. If you don't guess it within like 0.2 of a second or 0.02 of a second, I would have said 4.7 flat. I really would have, just based on
everything. That was my guess as well. I thought that was probably the range we were
just based on what. And listen, I hit Matt Godwin up. You know, I hit Matt Godwin up, and you know, we talked about this on the show last night. I said, "Hey man, Tyke just ran a 4.48. It was the first one," and he said, "No effing way, dude." And I said, "Yeah, man." He goes, "Dude, these 40 times are crazy." You know,
I thought it was very interesting. You mentioned this on the Georgia show, and I kind of wanted to talk about it there, but I guess now is as good of a time as any. The idea that guys weren't spending on the training anymore for this, that was kind of what you heard, right? Was
like, yeah, I heard that about Marvin Harrison specifically.
But that's so strange to me that guys wouldn't spend on it because there's more money than ever for them to do it. Yeah. With NIL being a factor, right? And so it seems weird to me that people would be pulling back. Like, if I'm Marvin Harrison, I get it, man. I know why. I understand why he wouldn't do it.
And I think that's what it is. Like, I don't know that it happened with anybody else. Okay, but like, okay. If I'm an elite guy and I know I'm not going to really work out for teams at the combine, I'm not going to run 40s for teams at the combine, like, here, you know I've got what it takes, all of that stuff. I get it because I believe it was Albert Breer who I heard was talking about this about Marvin Harrison. Is he was like, you know, time and time again, you go in these rookie mini camps and these dudes are huffing and puffing and throwing up and just clinging to life because they had spent the previous two and a half, 3 months training for Olympic style events, combine testing and things like that. They're not ready to practice. And apparently Marvin Harrison has been working with Ohio State strength staff and has been conditioning like he would be conditioning for a regular season and things like that. And I do think I don't know if he's going to work out at all at pro day, probably won't test, but he'll probably run routes and they'll get to see how explosive he is and how good he is. But
Marvin Harrison's a beast, dude.
Yeah. But stoked for Tyke Smith, stoked for Javon Bullard.
I felt good for Kendall Milton.
I do too. Yeah.
I thought he had a good combine, helped himself out.
Yeah. Very, very solid 40 time there for him at 225 pounds. I mean, 6'1", 225. Dejan Edwards didn't run it. Dejan Edwards also said very succinctly about Georgia's new running backs coach. He don't play. He don't play. He said he's very militant. He don't play.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing getting past him, he said. Sure. So, so Josh Crawford getting some high praise there from Dejan Edwards, but yeah, it was a good event for them. It was a good event for Georgia again. Lab McConkey running under a 4.4. That gives Georgia, I think, three straight combines at least. It would have been four, honestly.
There's a story that's hanging out there in my brain, and I probably missed the window on it already. But it's just like, once again, man, this thing has become a billboard for Georgia. And it's that it goes back to that development aspect. I mean, you're taking guys, like you said, Tyke Smith. Now, he was a freshman All-American. I don't want to take he was all Big 12, I think. Freshman all Big 12, if I'm not mistaken. But you don't want to take anything away from him. Great player. But I think it really shocked people that he was able to get his 40 time to where it was. You saw guys that were able to come to Georgia and develop. I mean, Ladd's going to probably – he's flirting with that end of first round buzz now, where people thought he might after the event took place. It's become a marquee event for Georgia, man. And it's just one of those things that they can continue to sell and sell and sell. You don't have to say, hey, look, you know, you come here and we'll give you $8 to $10 million in NIL. It's that long money strategy. Georgia's paying NIL, don't get me wrong, but they're going to be able to continue to sell that development as hard as anybody in the country and as well as anybody in the country.
Well, Georgia had a chance this time to, I guess it's the fourth straight, maybe fifth straight actually, combine where they've had a guy run under a 4.5. So they've had some, yeah, definitely fifth straight, maybe sixth straight. Let's get to sixth straight. I don't think so. I don't think Lorenzo Carter did it officially. Let me see. Run under a 4.5 at his NFL combine. Cause I know DeAndre Swift did. And obviously there was no 2021 NFL combine. Lorenzo Carter 4.5 flat. So Georgia going back to the 20, you had Miko Hardman in 2019. You had DeAndre Swift in 2020. And then there was none in 2021 or Georgia would have had it. Eric Stokes and or Tyson Campbell would have absolutely done it. And then 2022, you had Lewis Seen who did it. Was there anybody else who ran under a 4.5 that year? I think did Channing Tindall run under a 4.5 maybe? And then obviously, this last year it was Nolan Smith. This year it's Ladd McConkey and a couple of others. But Georgia has a little streak here of three straight years where it's had guys running the 4.3s.
Yeah.
With Lewis Seen in 2022, then Nolan Smith last year. And
George Pickens also broke that 4.5. He was 4.47.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so Pickens was in there too.
If you go back to Lorenzo Carter, then, I mean, Isaiah McKenzie the year before that probably.
Yeah, he was in the 4.4s as well. Right. So, yeah, if you're 4.5 or better, you know, for a while now, and I'm sure that's the case with a lot of elite teams, but I think that streak of three straight years where you have guys run under a 4.4, that's pretty strong, especially when you consider you've done it at three different positions. You've done it at wideout, you've done it at outside linebacker, and you've done it at safety.
Twice, so, right?
Who's that?
Lorenzo and Nolan?
No, Nolan, Lorenzo ran a 4.5 flat. Nolan
oh, 4.5, I'm sorry. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, 4.3. I think Nolan's was a 4.39 or 4.38, you know, raw or official. But, yeah, that I mean, that's just incredible. Incredible speed lets you know why Georgia's been as successful as they are. And, listen, while our board is going to sit here and debate why NIL should be open record and while what a thing, man. What a thing. And why Georgia should recruit better receivers. Georgia just keeps pumping them out, man. I mean, yeah. Here's what I look at from that perspective, and this goes to the lad thing and the AD thing. AD Mitchell, 4.35 at 6'2", 205 pounds. Unreal.
He made himself some money.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, it's starting to become a little bit of a habit with Georgia. Lad, AD, Dylan Bell. It's starting to become a little bit of a thing there. But you know, the receiving thing has become like a little bit of a talking point on our board, and I get it. And listen, maybe a couple years of 4,000 yards passing and some guys getting drafted and things like that will help Georgia recruit them a little better out of high school. I'm not saying it can't get better. But you want to talk about a coaching staff that has found a way the year after year since 2019 to make that room a strength? It's been pretty impressive. They've done a pretty good job of that, that they've had the playmakers and good players at wide receiver to win two titles and to be involved every step of the way.
Let me ask you this. Palmer and I debated this the other day during the Georgia show.
I'm taking your side right now.
11 guys participated in the NFL Combine from Georgia. Over under 8.5 drafted.
All right. We do this in my head. So I think both linemen get drafted, O-linemen.
Why don't you think just Zion... pop on to stare at us, Palmer? What are you going to say something? He just was staring ominously while you were.
What did Palmer say? I'll say the opposite.
No, we said that felt about right. That felt about like the right way, place to set it.
Palmer's over here muted. Like
admittedly, I accidentally clicked to add myself.
Okay.
Nobody makes it look harder.
Yeah.
Indeed.
All right. So both offensive linemen. I'm going to say all three defensive backs. I'm going to say one of the running backs. Both of the receivers. It's getting close. Who am I missing? So I don't think Edwards or Logue get drafted.
You're missing Brock Bowers.
And then Brock Bowers. Over. I'll take over.
Okay.
Oh, you agreed with me, sucker.
You have brought shame.
Because now, you know, I have the benefit of the combine, right? Did y'all have the benefit of the combine?
No, we had that.
No, you guys did it on Thursday.
But the better debated one was 9.5.
Yeah, 9.5 was – we also – yeah.
Yeah, I really have a tough time seeing Georgia get to 9.5. Because it really is those 11. You know, it takes
both running backs getting picked, in my opinion.
Yeah. Both running backs are Logue, you know, being, you know, one of the bigger defensive linemen in this draft, maybe somebody, you know, taking a flyer on him. But yeah, that's a good question. 9.5 is a lot tougher. I feel like 9 is pretty safe. I feel like, you know, because I just have a hard time seeing, because then it really comes down to Kendall and Tyke.
Yeah.
If you get to there. And I do think both of those guys get drafted.
I agree.
Kendall Tyke and I would say the next guy would be Rosamie Jack Saint. You know, those are probably in whatever order you want to put them in, 7, 8, and 9. Because I mean, I would bet everything I've got and everything I could borrow on Bowers, Bullard, McConkey,
Lassiter, Mims.
Yeah, Lassiter, Mims, and Van Pran getting drafted. With Van Pran probably maybe being in that like sixth spot. Yeah. So yeah, so that's an interesting take. You know, the 9 to 9.5 because who else? I mean, there's I don't think anybody else has got really a chance to get drafted that wasn't at the combine.
Yeah.
The only non-combine invite was Tramell Walthour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Or William Moat.
Will not be drafted. I'm going out on a limb and saying.
Sometimes they snatch those. Sometimes they'll snatch those long snappers off the scrap heap in the sixth and seventh round.
I would.
I don't maybe, think.
Man, I don't know, man. You think? Do you think there's a chance Tramell Walthour can do enough at UGA Pro Day to make a mark?
Probably not. He's probably gonna have a hard time getting out of the nursing home to be able to do it.
Why are you doing him like that, man?
I've always thought the world of that kid. I thought he was a hell of a run defender at Georgia, and it was great that Georgia got him back for his sixth year. I mean, he stuck around a long time. He dealt with some stuff, just like Stetson did, spent some time at JUCO. You know, didn't really transfer out and transfer back, but nah, Tramell's a good player. He'll get a non-roster invitee type spot and see what he can kind of get going. All right, man. Folks are probably bored with this. You ready to jake off?
Well, I want to ask you first before we move on to that. Sting, we talked about recruit. We talked about wrestling on here a lot. Sting had his retirement match Sunday night at AEW Revolution. You seemed surprised by that, so I assume
I did. I didn't know that.
It was a super cool moment. So when he did his final entrance, they had his two sons come out before him, and one was dressed as Surfer Sting, and then the other one was dressed as Wolfpack Sting. And then Sting came out in the middle of them.
Wait a minute. Was Sting ever – Sting was never really Wolfpack, though.
Sting was Wolfpack.
I thought he was the Raven.
He was, but he became a part of the NWO Wolfpack.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that. He had red paint. He had red paint. He did the whole thing. Yeah. But then he came out, had a final match. I'm just curious, man. Big Sting guy?
Yeah, 100%, man.
I don't know how you can't be. If you like wrestling, I don't know anybody who's ever had anything bad to say about Sting. And what's incredible is, like, as he's retiring, I've been reading all of this stuff of, like, people writing tributes or people, you know, voicing whatever. People talk about Sting like he may have been legitimately the best guy in the world.
It's great to hear.
Like hung out with Lex Luger after his big injury where he was paralyzed for a time, like came and saw and frequently called and comforted apparently Big Van Vader right before he died, like just kind of went out of his way to help people like the whole way. And was, you know, even his kids said, and I thought that this was really cool because it's like one of those things you don't hear a lot. You hear all these tragic stories about wrestling families and stuff. His kid came out and said, you know, I never questioned if my dad loved me. I knew that you were away a lot, but like, I always knew that you loved me and you cared about me. You were always talking to me and catching up on what I was doing. And, you know, it sounded like just overall, man, Sting was the guy that you hoped Sting would be.
Man, it's great to hear that. Like I'll be honest with you. Like I was out of wrestling before the internet became like a big deal, you know, like in terms of like just being able to look up and research anything and everything, because that wasn't always the case. I mean, I know I may sound maybe dating myself here, but yeah, I've never been really big into getting and watching videos and reading about it. But I do have a lot of great memories. I remember seeing Sting wrestle Big Van Vader for the world title. I want to say in the Albany Civic Center back in '92 at Great American Bash, where I pissed myself. They did fight that night. They did go at it that night, and it was a great match. Vader won. That's the only time I ever saw him. And, I was always a huge fan. Everybody was, but one of my greatest wrestling memories ever was, I can't remember. It might've been Starcade. It was a pay-per-view, but he wrestled the Great Muta.
And, oh yeah. Okay.
And he came in for the Stinger Splash and the Muta sprayed him.
Bit
the venom in his face.
Sure.
And while he was in the air, and it's crazy. Two of my best memories are of matches that Sting lost, because I'm pretty sure he lost, got cheated on, and lost that one too. But dude, you remember how mad it used to make you whenever the bad guys would cheat and beat the good guys?
Yeah, yeah. No doubt, man. Absolutely, sure.
But I remember my papa. My Papa Theopolis, kind of a tall, skinny guy. Used to, this was back when he used to, he quit drinking like when I was pretty young, but I remember like being like 6 or 7, he was having like an old Budweiser with a little salt on the rim. And we were watching like Halloween Havoc or something like that. It was something right around that time. And somebody cheated to win a match. And I just remember him looking up from his beer and going, well, that's bullshit. And he was right. It totally was. I wanted to say it myself, but I would have gotten my tail tore up. But that was so much fun. Used to watch those things, man. And we would rent those bad boys for like back then they were $29.99, and we'd invite everybody we knew over. I mean, it would just like the outcome wasn't already predetermined and everything. It's crazy how that sport has made it to where it's made it, with everybody knowing that at least one element of it is choreographed and fake.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's the athleticism's unbelievable. I mean, and what those guys put their bodies through, man. I mean, you see them now, they're wrecked, man. I mean, like the outcomes are predetermined, but the stuff you're seeing really hurts, man.
Hey, and I've got an idea.
If you've ever been put in a Boston crab, you know that.
I've got an idea, and I want some Palmer. If you'll do this, do me a favor, throw my email up there on the bottom of this thing. Okay. Throw my email up on the bottom of this thing. And I want to hear from Dogs HQ users and watchers of Bark After Dark. Roos, I've got an idea. Okay. This football season, you and I should get together.
I'm waiting for this idea before I throw the email
out. You and I should get together once a week, and we should cut a wrestling promo for whatever game Georgia has.
I like it.
Like, just like.
Let me tell you something, Billy Napier.
Well, you know something, brother. Yeah. Just spit flying everywhere and stuff like that. Like, we should get together and
cut one. Michael Williams in the building.
He's going to put his arms around you, and you're going to struggle.
Oh, God.
You dig it?
You asked
to hear from you. What do you guys think about this? JakeMro@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. Yay or nay. You know, I don't want to hear your life story. I do. It doesn't matter. I'll read it. But yeah, shoot me an email. Yay or nay. I'd love to hear from you guys. See what you think about me and Roos cutting some wrestling promos for Georgia's games this fall. I think it would be a lot of fun. We may have to cut one for G-Day too. Get some headbands and some tank tops and, you know, cut up some shirts and stuff, maybe rip a couple open.
I'm not going to have to like do this stuff. I'm going to go get, like, I've got this stuff at my mom's house, dude. I'm going to go get my Macho Man shirt and I'm going to wear it, dude.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. Cream of the crop.
I love the hand thing. Dude. The hand's pretty good. All right, let's shake off.
All right. I'll lead it off tonight. So one of the big things that I've been focused on this year, and I feel comfortable saying this because it's now March and I'm still kind of going on it, is I've done a pretty good job of losing weight so far this year. Needed to do that, needed to drop some pounds. And I know that you are a guy, you work out, you've lost a bunch of weight over time, man. Like, you're looking good right now.
Gained it back.
Yeah. But I'm curious, what I'm always looking for some health tips. So I'm curious, what are Jake Rowe's main health tips in terms of I want to lose some weight, I want to put a little muscle on. What do I need to be doing in the Jake Rowe school of thought?
Man, I don't know, dude. Like,
how do you do it?
I just do it like, for me, it's just all about like, I just got to get my mind right. Like, I have a hard time doing it. If there have been so many times I've gotten started and barely gotten started just because I'm not, I'm not ready yet, but I'm telling you, when the switch flips for me and I go at it, really hard. And I tend to lose a lot of weight fast, and it's probably why I gain a lot of weight of it, gain it all back most of the time. Even though I don't gain it back fast, I usually gain it back. I honestly feel like, this past time I started about a month ago, and I'm probably about 9 or 10 pounds down right now overall. And for me, it's been like water. Like, I've been trying to drink so much water You know, because that's kind of the big thing. And honestly, you drink a lot of water, it just kind of has other benefits too. You sleep better. You have more energy. So, I mean, just got to drink a lot of water, man. That's just all there is to it. I mean, I know you hammer the protein right now. I know you
are. Yeah, I've been focusing on protein and fiber. Those have been my two big things. And I've found that you really need fiber if you're going to have a lot of protein.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm sure of reasons. Those have been kind of my two big things. I'm down now under 200 pounds for the first time in a very, very long time. So things have been going well. Now, a lot of it, I think, and I said this for years, and I think I was proven right, a lot of it was beer weight. A lot of it, I mean, you know, I took almost 2 full months off and I lost like 15, 20 pounds, man. So, you know, and I've since gone back, the dry spell is over. I've had a couple of beers, nothing crazy. I'm not diving in like I used to, with them, but, I think that that's been a big thing for it for sure, man. You know, I mean, I calculate it up, you know, you have 4 or 5 beers, you know, you're adding an extra 1,000 calories in some cases. So
yeah.
Calories in, calories out, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And that's been one of the things that was that kind of helped me drop weight like I was dropping because, you know, you and I went to Carrollton, we had a few drinks and then, you know, that was one of the first times in a little while that I had a drink or two. And then, you know, I didn't drink anything from there until Centurion Club in Atlanta before going to Indianapolis. And boy, did I cut loose.
Yeah. I think you punished the Centurion Club for their offering.
The Centurion Club lost money on me that day. There ain't no doubt about it. Because I also ate I ate like a ton of chimichurri chicken. Like they had this chicken breast that you want to talk about protein. I had about 300 grams of protein and just chimichurri chicken breast. It was so good. All right. A little bit more of a serious note for a second. Chris Mortensen passed away.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about Chris Mortensen and I was thinking about how reliable he was and how good of an insider he was, but at no point was it ever flashy or was he anybody's favorite per se, you know, like it just, there was nothing really that Chris Mortensen in a way was a phenom because he made it by being very kind of, without lack of a better word to say it, white bread, straightforward, no hot takes, no anything like that. I mean, like John Clayton, right? John Clayton, there was always that, oh my God, like, yeah. You know, they made fun of it with the
great commercial.
Finish with my segment.
Yeah.
John Clayton's still with us. He passed, didn't he?
I think John Clayton's still around.
Oh, is he? I thought John Clayton passed. Okay, never mind. All right, so, but anyway, Chris Mortensen passed away. He had a long battle with cancer. And I just thought, like, man, that was...
John Clayton passed last March.
Oh, damn it.
2 Marches ago.
Jesus. Wow, we're losing some greats, man.
Yeah, March is not good for our guys, man. So I wanted to ask you, you know, obviously Mort was a phenom, and I know you're not going to say he's your favorite, but in terms of, like, those reporters, whether it's NFL, NBA, whatever, who was always the guy you just looked forward to, like, your hey, he's on TV.
This you know, guy. That's a tough question. And you kind of stole one of them, which was John Clayton. I loved him for that reason.
I'm cool if you want to use that as an answer.
Because John Clayton made me believe that I did not have to be super handsome to be on TV.
I mean, come on, man. You had Jeremy Schapp. You had Sal Palantonio. I mean, none of those guys were
rookers. Yeah, Sal Pal was a great one. Sal was one of those I really looked for.
Palantonio, yes.
I was a weird kid, man. Maybe you were in this way, too. Like, I used to watch the sports reporters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, like, so guys like Bob Ryan and, like, you know, Dick Schapp. Like, those old school guys, man. I love that stuff. You know, Rick Riley before he got into the really flowery stuff was a lot of fun.
Man, I used to
read Page 2 all the time, man.
I used to open Sports Illustrated and go straight to the back page and read Rick Riley first.
Yeah, yeah. Like I don't know, man. I would say that those, you know, there were several of those guys, man. And it was those guys more than the anchors on SportsCenter. You know, for me, I always looked forward to the reporters and the insiders. And it was really just this idea of like how cool it must be to be on that side of it and to have these people who trust you and are willing to tell you these things and know what you're going to put out there. And then that we get to do some level of that now is a mind blowing. To be honest with
yeah.
you. But it was, but like that was the stuff I was into as a kid, man. I would watch when I was sick, man. I would turn on SportsCenter. I'd watch 3 straight hours of SportsCenter. Then I'd watch Price is Right. Then I'd turn SportsCenter back on until, you know, 5 o'clock, which was when Around the Horn came on. That was when PTI came, or no, it was Around the Horn. Around the Horn came on, then PTI. And So those are a couple. You want to talk about another couple of things that I love, PTI and Around the Horn, man. I was huge on those as well.
I never was really big on Around the Horn, but PTI was always fun. I've always been a Kornheiser guy, and I don't like Wilbon a whole lot. Like, I just think he's a little arrogant, you know, and he's never been my favorite. God, I love Tony Kornheiser.
Constant
talking about how early he goes to bed just cracked me up, man.
Yeah, the guys who didn't take themselves very seriously obviously were the ones that I gravitated towards.
Sure.
I'll tell you another one we didn't mention, a couple of guys, and I used to be, because I used to be a huge, huge baseball guy, Tim Kirkjian and Peter Gammons. I loved Peter
Gammons. I mean, obviously, baseball's a big love for me, and I've always loved Tim Kirkjian. And if you've never looked up or gotten into it, you've got to go listen to Scott Van Pelt do his Baltimore Delco accent to get Joe Flacco.
Polanco.
And for whatever reason, Tim Kirkjian just loses his mind.
He's from Baltimore.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's not that funny. You know what
it
I mean?
Is. No, the it is. It's funny because of how hard it makes him.
Funny. It is funny. Don't get me wrong. But it's like Tim Kirkjian just losing his complete composure as a human being. Like Horatio Sands on some of those older episodes of Saturday Night Live. It's the best part. It is the best part of that whole bit that they used to do. That, you know, the one you just – the Placido Polanco. so great. But – yeah, that those are the best. But man, rest in peace, Chris Mortensen. Always been a phenomenal.
RIP Mort.
Always had great stuff to report. You know,
no hot takes, like you said, man. Just delivered the facts. He was like a Walter Cronkite throwback, man.
Just very dry, very straightforward. I'm almost never got anything wrong. You know, even Adam Schefter is flashy compared to what Chris Mortensen used to be.
Yeah.
You know, gone too soon, I guess at the age of 72 years old, if I get 72, it's a win. Obviously I know him and his family are going to miss him. And I remember covering his son in recruiting, back in the day, Alex Mortensen, I believe he went to Arkansas, to start with, it was from Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't he go to Greater Atlanta Christian?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah. That one stings a little bit. But you know, these marches are just kind of taking away our dudes. Maybe I don't remember covering him. I didn't cover him. He was right around my age, actually. He's right. Your age. He's born in 80.
But he was an analyst, I believe. I believe he worked on Mullen's staff or Napier's staff.
He worked at Alabama. He was a GA at Alabama 14 to 16, and then an analyst at Alabama from 17 to 19. And then he was an analyst at Alabama again here very recently, 20 to 2022. As of right now, he is the offensive coordinator at UAB under Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. Okay.
He won 3 national championships at Alabama, got 3 national championship rings. I'm trying to see what high school he went to. Landmark Christian.
Landmark.
He went to Landmark Christian in Atlanta. So, that was always cool. Always had a lot of respect for him for that. That he didn't need a take. He didn't need anything crazy to kind of get his name out there. He just kind of did it. Folks, that's all we got for you tonight. We got the Georgia show coming up tomorrow morning with myself and I believe Rusty Mansell will be on there. That'll be fun. We'll do it again on Thursday morning. Spring practice is coming up next week. We'll be back with Bark After Dark next Monday. Guest to be determined. For this episode, man, y'all have a great rest of your week. Roof, roof.
Unjustifiably in a position I would rather not be in.
Dark after dark.